Sports 910 Richmond. Diehard Wahoo Frank Maloney and former Wahoo basketball standout Jim Hobbo Hobgood break down the Cavaliers each week by bringing you inside the game and behind the scenes with all-star interviews and unique takes like only Frank and Hobbo can. Who's Talking is brought to you by Ortho Virginia, TGI Fridays, West Broad Hyundai, LeClaire Ryan Law Firm, the Virginia Athletics Foundation, Franklin Federal, TheSaber.com, Stauer Affordable Luxuries, Richmond Allergy and Asthma, Kelleher Heating and Air, Hilldrop Moving, LeMaire Restaurant at the Jefferson Hotel, and by Sarge Reynolds. Now Who's Talking is on Fox Sports 910. Here's Frank and Hobbo.
Good evening, Wahoos, and welcome, ACC fans. This is Frank and Hobbo, and we've got Chris Sill here, too.
Hey, it's a full complement of players here tonight.
Glad to have Chris back in the office here. He's been down in Florida.
Not to forget Douglas, our engineer over here, too.
Yeah. Dougie with a new haircut.
Looking sharp. Very sharp.
I guess he's ready for the Marines. Boom chakalaka. All right, Wahoos coming off a bizarre week, in my opinion. Georgia Tech couldn't hit the broadside of a barn the other night, and the UVA defense was locked in from the opening tip, and by and large, the offense was pretty smooth. I wouldn't call it running on all cylinders, but a decent offensive game and good ball control and a convincing win, 29-point victory, I believe. And then there was yesterday. Wahoos escaped, according to the headlines, but I would say survived. It seemed like Virginia Tech played 25 players, and they used a couple of guys that I'd never heard of, and they played as hard as they could play. Unfortunately, they still have not found a way to win an ACC game this year, and Buzz Williams went through two sets of clothes again. But Wahoos, nevertheless, are 19-0 and 7-0 in conference. And Hobbo, lots of road wins this year for the Wahoos. What do you say?
Well, as we were talking before we went on air, one of the most impressive statistics to me is over the last two ACC seasons, Virginia now is 11-2 on the road. It used to be that the theory was you win your games at home and try to steal two or three on the road, and you're in contention for a conference title. To go 11-2 on the road this year, they've already got four road wins. Although, here's the deal.
They
beat Miami in double overtime. They were behind in the second half against both Boston College and Notre Dame, and obviously they were really behind in the second half yesterday. So they're starting to tempt fate a little too much. Now the good news from my perspective is the next road game is at the Smith Center a week from tonight, and I think the lads will understand that in order to beat Carolina at Carolina, you got to bring your A game and play 40 minutes. I felt like yesterday in particular, I don't know whether they just went down there thinking it was going to be easier than it was, didn't really comprehend how big a game it is for Virginia Tech, and you got to sell out crowd the first time in two or three years down there at the Castle. So you're getting their best shot. And who was it? That Adam Smith. He was impressive. He made three threes. It's only three of nine, but he was contested on all those things. He wasn't getting wide open shots, so he made some big buckets for them. So give Buzz Williams and the Hokies credit. They played really hard. All rights had a great shot at winning the game. If Virginia doesn't make some terrific plays coming down the stretch, we may have lost that game, but we won.
I don't know about winning the game. They could have forced overtime.
No, but I'm just saying.
The last 5 minutes of the game, Virginia's defense held them to nothing but terrible shots. I mean,
no,
the guy that took the shot in the corner behind the basket 5 seconds into the shot clock, I can't remember if that was Devin Wilson or Ahmad Hill, but that's not a shot the coach
Well, I can't remember the exact time. I think the newspaper said Tech was up 43-33 with like 10.5 minutes to go. They finished the game with 47, so they got 4 points in the last 10.5 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And there let's credit Virginia's defense from that standpoint.
And there was a five-minute stretch where Tech didn't do anything.
No.
One guy threw a pass towards midcourt to a wide-open fan sitting in the front row. There was a little bit of short-circuiting that went on. And interesting that we should point out that Virginia over the last two seasons now 49-7. 49-7, Hobbo. Last year's team was 30-7. The Wahoo team this year is 19-0. 49-7, and that's almost Ralph-esque in terms of.
To me, even more impressive is since last January 1st, they're now 40-3.
Yes.
I mean, 40-3 against the competition they're playing is just insane.
Well, so, and you know, speaking of insane competition, let's go ahead and get this out of the way. The Wahoos have none other than Duke coming up this Saturday at 7 o'clock.
When?
Piece of cake. I mean, Coach K, who's he? Monday, February 2nd, just a few days later, two-day turnaround. They're playing at North Carolina in the Dean Dome. You don't think that ticket's a hot ticket at Carolina?
It will be a hot ticket.
Also, then, just days later, 5 days later, the Wahoos come home and play the Louisville Cardinal. And then just 4 days later, they travel down to Raleigh to play NC State, and they are brutal inside that
RBC Center.
RBC Center.
Or PNC Center.
PNC Center.
Or whatever the name of the bank that they're calling it this week.
Yeah.
But, I mean, NC State, I thought, had Notre Dame beat last night at the end of regulation, and the Irish, well, who was it the other day, said you don't want to play Notre Dame on Sunday, and I believe it now.
That was Terry Gates.
Notre Dame came out of nowhere to win the game in overtime. So the Irish, really good. But you're right. NC State on the road is a tough assignment.
And, you know, I don't really understand how we got such a brutal gauntlet right here at the end of January and the beginning of February. But, you know, you play them as the computer spits them out. It's just a very interesting thing that Virginia plays four of the best teams. In fact, let's look at the records in the conference right now. North Carolina is currently third at 6-1 in the ACC. We play them a week from now. Prior to that, we played Duke, who's 4-2, but 17-2 overall. NC State, although 4-4, is giving everybody heck lately and has athletes galore, and gave Virginia a good tough game. Let's face it, this is a first sequence of really big games.
Well, it's a brutal schedule, but nevertheless. You know, I think it'll be a good test for Virginia, particularly, you know, you get in the NCAA tournament, oftentimes you play two games within 48 hours against quality teams, so they're going to get a chance to do it this weekend.
All right. We just learned from Douglas, and we have Sean Singletary queued up. He's on the line. Hubbo, you want to do a quick intro?
Well, I've said I had the pleasure of seeing every game that Sean played in person. Number 44, it is a jersey that's retired. I think he's fifth all time in scoring for Virginia. He was a captain 3 years in a row, which is a tribute to his leadership skills. And of course, he and J.R. Reynolds and others led Virginia to a first place finish in the ACC regular season in 2007. So, Sean, we got you with us. Thanks for taking a couple of minutes to call in.
No problem. I'm glad to be here. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. You know, as I say, you and JR formed quite a guard duo. What is your assessment of London Perrantes and Malcolm Brogdon?
I think the sky's the limit for those guys. Tony and staff have recruited a team full of coachable individuals who come together as a team, as a family, for a greater purpose. London plays with pace, high basketball IQ, great feel for the game, and Malcolm is very talented, aggressive, can shoot the ball really well, very hard worker. Those are two of the hardest workers on the team, requires a double team most of the time, which frees up a lot of his teammates. So those guys are just very dynamic and very coachable and exciting to watch.
And Justin Anderson almost has as much in the way of hops as you did.
Yeah, he's getting there. I'm a big Justin fan. He's very excited. But you know, first and foremost, he's a great kid, comes from a great family, and very humble. So all the success he's getting, he is well deserved because he's actually a hard worker as well.
I'll let Frank jump in here, but were you nervous yesterday afternoon?
No.
Not at all, huh?
I watch all UVA's games. I watched a bunch of their practices. I've been coming back every summer and training with Mike Curtis, you know, because I've always, you know, been injured my whole professional career. So, you know, Mike Curtis has been helping me out on that note, and I've been in the gym with these guys. So, and I've watched Tony and his staff, and you know how they coach the kids and the condition the kids are in. You know, our most teams, you know, ebb and flow and have peaks and valleys during the game. UVA is very constant and steady. So, while most of the teams are riding waves, UVA is just straight, going straight and narrow, and they're just outlasting all their opponents. So, slow and steady wins the race for them.
Well, I like that approach, Sean. This is Frank. I want to thank you for joining us tonight. And, you know, remembering back to your days, always felt that your teams lacked one more scorer, whereas it seems that this team, and last year as well, as we identified earlier with the 49-7 record over the last two seasons here, the Wahoos seem to have a lot of scoring options, almost to a fault. And it seemed like yesterday's game, more so than any that I can remember this year, most of the players were looking for somebody to start making something happen. And, you know, they tried Nolte off the bench, and he promptly ran in and shot a brick. And Toby, I think, tried a three ball, which made no sense to me. But other than a few moments like that, everybody was taking shots within the offense by and large. But nobody caught fire until the very end, and obviously Justin Anderson made some big plays.
It's hard to play on the road, especially the rival game of Virginia Tech. And having too much talent is not a problem when, you know, they're managed and coached the right way. There are no egos out there, so any given night, it could be any given player, and no one, you know, hangs their head if they have a bad night. You know, maybe it's Malcolm's turn, it's going to be Justin's turn, it's going to be Mike's turn, you know, will soon come in, you know, one of these games and hit four threes in a row to get UVA a win sooner than later, and, you know, that's just how it goes. You know, they have an abundance of talent, they're extremely coachable, and it's a rarity, and it's a unique group of chemistry they have, and so if one guy's off, you know, someone else is going to step up, and that's how they live. They each got each other's back, and it's a very family-oriented team.
Well, Frank, has to understand that, you know, on your team, you would have had a third or fourth scoring option if you and or JR had ever given up the ball. But seriously, you know, it's Duke week, which, you know, even though we're ranked ahead of Duke, you know, I mean, down at Duke, they call it Virginia week, but although they better worry about Notre Dame first. But harken back to that game in John Paul Jones Arena where your Cavaliers beat Duke on your last second shot on the baseline. That's still got to be one of your high moments from your college career.
Yeah, it was a great moment in history for UVA basketball. Exciting for me, my personal family, the Wahoo family in town of Charlottesville, and, you know, UVA alum, you know, all over, just to, you know, David versus Goliath type of situation, and we were able to be victorious. But there were a lot of plays, you know, during that game where, you know, each of my teammates came up big, and, you know, I just happened to make a couple shots during the end. To put us ahead, but it was definitely a tough, well-fought game. We planned well for them, and we were able to beat them.
Do you remember how loud that building was when the ball went through the net?
I mean, everyone always speaks of it, and I've seen videos of it. I mean, when I first made the shot, you know, maybe 1 or 2 years, I really didn't pay much attention to it. But as, you know, I got older and more injured, I started looking at it and smiling a little bit more. But and I could, you know, hear the fans and the atmosphere, and I realized it was a special moment. But actually, when I hit the shot, I mean, I wasn't really too excited. I know my mother was so excited, and my grandmother was so excited. And I just knew we played Miami in a couple of days, and I was dehydrated. That's all I remember.
Sean, I remember that game well. Also remember the victories against Arizona, and that appears to be a team that Virginia could face if they go deep into the NCAAs, as we hope. Do you remember those games well, and what was it like to beat Lute Olson?
Well, Arizona game, I felt more excited about that because that game set the tone for the rest of our season. It was the first game in John Paul Jones Arena.
Yes.
And a great start in the turnover of UVA history going in the right direction, UVA basketball history going in the right direction. You know, like the Duke game, it was kind of like a David versus Goliath. You know, they had five or six NBA guys on their team.
Yep.
You know, we're down double digits. You know, John Paul Jones Arena was extremely quiet. You could hear a pin drop in there. And, you know, guys like Lourdes, Nikolauskas, you know, JR, Mamadi, you know, all those guys, Adrian Joseph, they stepped up big, man, and we were able to come back, and they were shot. It was like we hit them with a haymaker punch, and they never recovered from it, and we were able to win, man. It was a great, great, great start to turn around and UVA history.
Yeah, it really was, and, you know, you're mentioning those names brings back a lot of memories for me. But anyway, Sean, we got to go to our first break. Can you hang with us? And finish up with you in a few minutes here. You're listening to Who's Talking. We have Sean Singletary, former Virginia great, on the line. He'll be with us through the break. Stay tuned. We'll be back after these messages.